game day or any day. Your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
We're brought to you today by the law firm Condori & Murrah. They will handle your estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, or probate administration. Their attorneys are there to protect you and your family's assets, and you can schedule a free consultation with them today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Mention us to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We will take you up to 6:30 this evening. Nats baseball from Kansas City tonight in the 8 o'clock hour. Cade Cavalli was on the hill last night. He looked okay, not as good as he did in his first start back. He was fine. The Nats lose, though. They came in second. There's been a lot of that.
Yeah, you've noticed some months of those, yeah.
Let's go to the hotline. Welcome onto the show, the ESPN NFL draft analyst and insider. We always love having on from the four-letter network. Matt Miller is with us, and we wanted to talk not only about the Commanders draft class, but some of the rookies who stood out in week one of the preseason. Matt, it's awesome to have you back on. How are you?
Doing well. Good to be talking to you guys in August and not in March and April. This is fun.
Ain't that the truth?
That's right.
So let's just start with Shedeur Sanders' showing for the Cleveland Browns. As has been the case with the discourse around him since he was drafted, like nothing can just happen normally, right? Everyone's got to have the hottest, right, most scolding take. What did you think of how he looked, and how significant is that in the overall eval as he right now is still fourth on that depth chart?
I mean, he looked good. There's no way around it. I think that's, you want to look at every rookie and say, okay, how did they handle the pressure? How did they handle the speed of the game? What was asked of them? What situations were they put in? And you want, you know, every positive takeaway is a good one, I think. You know, I thought he handled the pacing of the game really well. He was accurate. Obviously, you know, the two touchdowns he made plays. I think there were also times where you saw, like, with some of the bailing of the pocket and some of the things where he was running around making plays. I don't know that that works in the regular season like it does the preseason so much. So it's like, I was still a little bit skeptical of some of the things he was doing. And I'm someone that, like, I was a fan of his. You know, I had a second round grade on him. I thought there was a shot he was going to be drafted in the top 15. So I think the key now is, does he get more reps with, you know, second team? Does he eventually get some reps with starters? Because that quarterback room is very unbalanced right now, and I think we're all waiting to see what's going to happen. So he definitely didn't hurt himself in any way.
Would you make a Jackson Dart?
I thought he also looked really good. And similarly, like, Jackson just looks like he belonged. You know, the pacing was great, never looked, you know, super rushed or pressured. And I think with each guy, I look back at, like, okay, where were we pre-draft? The pre-draft with Jackson was, hey, the ability's all there, but the scheme he played in, and some of this for Shedeur as well. But with Jackson, especially, like, the scheme he played in college, it was so much. It's like, hey, if the vertical shot's not there, check down's not there, run. So seeing him get through some of the progression, seeing him be accurate and on time, I think that's what you're really, really looking for.
What's a reasonable timeline for both of those guys to get on the field this season?
Well, I think in New York, it's different because Russ is there and Jameis is there, and those guys are established veterans. And so it's different. And also, Dable needs to win. And so it's like, okay, I don't think Dart's going to get on the field. I don't know if he's going to play this year if they're competitive. And that's okay. You know, he's barely 22 years old. He's coming out of that Lane Kiffin offense. So it's like you want him to have time to learn and acclimate. I think we've all learned lessons from, you know, whether it be Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, whoever it might be. We've learned lessons about, you know, let's not rush guys onto the field, especially if they didn't play a ton in college. And so with Jackson, it's like, I don't feel the pressure. With Shador, what do you have to lose? You're not going to win the division. You know, you're not better than the Bengals, Ravens, or Steelers in any universe. So like, why not? If he's showing up and being accountable, if he knows the offense, if his teammates, you know, are respecting what he's doing, what do you have to lose by putting him out there? Because if you hit on a fifth round pick, the financials, you're so above the curve on the financials. Like you should be begging that he does hit. Like that's what you want to happen in Cleveland, is that he hits. Not only because it's a good story, and I want my guy Mel Kiper to be right, but also it's like from a financial standpoint, that's the way to win in the NFL right now.
Matt Miller with us here on Grant and Danny. Give him a follow at NFL Draft Scout. Pick 1-1. It's just so strange that there's zero attention or hype with a quarterback that goes 1-1. Nobody really seems to care all that bad about Cam Ward, but not much of a showing. We only saw, I think, 8 or 9 pass attempts in his first preseason action, but what'd you make of it?
I mean, again, I don't ever want to overstate what a guy does in the preseason, but it was encouraging. And Cam has the least talent around him of any of these quarterbacks we're talking about. And that's just the reality of that team right now. You know, they are very much rebuilding, and you know, they've got Calvin Ridley, but they don't have a lot else. Their offensive line, you know, it's like they're young. We need to see some jumps from some guys there as they move around, especially. But yeah, I thought he looked good, and I like Cam, but I will say this. I don't think Cam is ever one of those dudes that like you're going to watch him play in the preseason and be like, oh my God, he looks so good. But he was efficient and he was consistent. And he's going to be more of that playmaker. And I think we saw that at Miami last year, you know, like turn the lights on and give him a live rush and he's going to go make some things happen. So we got a very small sample size from Cam Ward, but I think it was a good one.
5 of 8 for 67 yards in his debut. You know what interested me, Matt, about Cam Ward is like there was no looking to run at all. It was like balls coming out. It was very pocket passer-ish, which I was intrigued by. How much of his game, I know it's not Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson-esque, but I mean, would you, like, Shador is a pocket passer, right? I watch him and I go, oh, that's crazy. He showed some mobility there. That guy wants to stand there center block footed and make throws. Where is Ward on that spectrum?
He's much more mobile than Shador. He's not, like, he's not Jaden Daniels, but he is definitely, he's able to make things happen with his feet. I'm trying to think. I was pausing. I was trying to think of an NFL quarterback that I would compare his mobility to. Pre-draft, I compared him to Jordan Love, but I think he's a little bit crisper as a passer than than Jordan was coming out. So I mean, he's gonna do some things with his legs. What I love about his game is that he has some bulk to him, so he's gonna even be able to like run over some dudes, like short yarder stuff. Especially, we didn't see it a lot at Miami, but if you go back to Washington State, where he had to play hero ball a little bit, you definitely see more of his like goal line strength and some of his abilities there.
He ended up last year averaging right around 15, 20 yards rushing or something like that per game. So almost like did it when he had to create or extend. Matt Miller is with us at NFL Draft Scout on social. You should check him out there. In Washington here with the Commanders, you know, we're watching them very closely. So we just watched them play the Patriots. Travion Henderson was unbelievable. Rips off a 100-yard kick return, the first time he ever touches a ball in the NFL. He had a long run that was called back. I think he had like an 18-yarder that held up or something, and he caught a couple balls. I mean, he looked like a guy that should immediately be stealing playing time from Stevenson and Gibson. What did you think of him coming out, and how quickly could he be a real impact player for the Patriots in an offense that needs weapons.
No, I loved him coming out. He's so dynamic. He's such a great receiver. I mean, you saw that in the college football playoffs, right? Like, that's who he was. You know, what he did for Ohio State was, like, the outside running ability, the speed, what he brings to the table as a pass catcher. Like, he is tailor-made for where the NFL's at right now with, you know, like, Jahmyr Gibbs, like, that type of back, somebody that can be a slasher, somebody that can be a receiver, and the return doesn't hurt, right? So, but it's funny because, like, you get the speed, but then he absolutely puts his shoulder into a defender and you know, shows that he's willing to seek contact or that he's willing to run over contact. So I look at Henderson, and that's a team that, like, they're trying to figure out who they are. Obviously, you got Mike Vrabel coming in. Vrabel's got to love what he saw from Henderson and just be like, okay, like, Ramondre Stevenson is a power back. That's what he's going to bring to the table. Gibson is a gadget guy, but Henderson, I think, has a chance to be a little bit of both. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see it mirror Detroit to some degree of, like, hey, David Montgomery's like he's the guy that kind of sets the pace. But we all know Jahmyr Gibbs is the dude. I can see New England being the same way.
What's a reasonable expectation for Travis Hunter this year?
So I hate to pour cold water on it. I think it's to just learn. Like, I don't know that I want him to do anything more this year than just learn how to play in the NFL at multiple positions, because or even just like being great at one position. Honestly, at Colorado, so much of his time was split. He would go to meetings as a defensive back and learn the offense, coverages, who we have to defend. And then on offense, they would just like hand motion plays into him. So this isn't a dude that was like really, really learning how to be a route runner or, you know, spending time learning about leverage. And he had such a good relationship with Shador that, you know, they had that chemistry already. So coming into the NFL, now he's got to build that. You know, he's got to go build that with Trevor. And he's got to, you know, learn how to be a receiver while also, and I think corner is the second hardest position to go from college to the NFL and have immediate success. He's got to learn how to do that as well. So I don't think statistically, like, if I were playing in a fantasy league, Travis Hunter's not super high on my list for this year. You know, long-term, maybe. But I don't think we see statistically, like, a huge, huge jump from him this year.
So speaking of fantasy, a guy that I'm high on this year in this rookie class, and I just want to get your thoughts on maybe what he could be capable of, is Tyler Warren, the tight end for the Colts. They threw him a screen on the second pass of their preseason opener here against Baltimore. I think it came back, but he ended up 3 for 40 in the game. He had a 23-yard catch and run that was ultra impressive, middle of the field. He like carried a guy to a first down on another catch. I don't know what kind of blocker he is. You'd have to tell me or what that looks like. But to me, he just looks like a real weapon. How much of a player do you think he'll be right away, or what kind of project is he?
He's not a project. He's ready to go. There's a reason he was drafted so early. It's crazy because at Penn State, they needed him to be God, basically. Like, they needed him to do everything because, you know, that Drew Aller was really developing and they had a new offensive coordinator. They had a really strong run game. So he was a good run blocker as well. But they needed him to be, you know, shoot, on gadget plays, he's snapping the ball and running go routes. Or there's times like he's, you know, lined up in the backfield playing tailback. So he is very much capable of doing a lot of different things. He's a really good athlete. I mean, like, everything about Tyler Warren is why he was really, like, universally talked about as a top 10 player in last year's draft class. And it's when he fell to 14, even, it was a little bit of a surprise. So he, you know, we don't know what their quarterback situation is going to look at, but Warren is someone, and they've got a group of pass catchers there. Like, they've got some dudes there. So if they can figure out the quarterback position, you know, they've got all the weapons you could ever want in terms of, you know, offensive talent and guys that can help your quarterback out.
Matt, I'm a notoriously terrible evaluator. I make snap judgments and then am like stubborn, heels in the ground, and just kind of get myself in trouble all the time in both good and bad directions. But I've fallen in love with Trey Amos, Washington second round pick. I feel like they might have a dude here. Pour cold water or tell me I'm right. Your choice.
No, you're right. And I loved him. You know, I thought he had, you know, potential as a late first round pick coming out. Just technically speaking, he's so sound. And I remember being on the field at Mobile watching him at the Senior Bowl and just watching him go through drills. And it's like, dude, this is what it's supposed to look like. He's long. He's solidly built. Like, he's not the fastest guy in the world. No, but he's just so polished, and you know, he had ball skills. You know, there's things that he did at Ole Miss, and he was at Alabama before Ole Miss. Like, you know, there's some pedigree there. Like, Nick Saban recruited you. Okay, yeah, you're probably gonna be pretty good. They probably saw something there. And he was at, you know, Lafayette before that. So there's that chip on his shoulder of like, this dude's worked, but you know, he's a little bit older of a player. He's been, you know, 5 years in college. So he's experienced 2 years in the SEC where he had, I think he had 3 picks in his time in the SEC. So like, yeah, he's just really, really good. And I think especially more so of what they needed, like somebody with a little bit of bulk, a little bit of size who could play press, who's going to be a tackler in the run game. To where he's not, you know, the liability that, like, you know, Banks throwing out there at 170 pounds was.
ESPN NFL draft analyst and insider, Matt Miller. From one guy having a great camp with the Commanders to another, localizing here, Jacory Kroski-Merritt. So if not for his weird lack of availability on a list where he couldn't play and he had one game with Arizona, what round talent would he have been? He has been maybe the biggest story in the preseason for Washington.
Yeah, you know, I thought just on, again, on his age was like a thing, right? Because he'd been all over. I think he's already 24. He was 24 before the draft. I would have said like round four, probably. It was a deep running back class last year. You know, that's another part of it. It's like, it's a really good running back class. I pulled up my grade on him. I gave him a potential starter grade. And some of that with running back, it's like so scheme specific because a guy with his size, speed, you know, the one cut, quickness, like that works in some schemes, not others. It works really well. And what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do. And this is a funny Cliff Kingsbury story. I remember talking to Mahomes when he came out just about Cliff and about like strategy and offense and stuff. And he's like, what people don't realize about Cliff is he wants to run the ball. And he's had success everywhere he's ever been running the ball. And his backs are always super productive. And so with Jacory, it's like that one cut talent and how well he cuts in space and how crisp he is as a runner. It fits this offense really, really well. And so, you know, the big key was age. And he, like you said, you know, he only played with eligibility issues. That definitely made things an issue. But, you know, he profiled as a really good running back too coming out. And so I would think that ceiling could be reached pretty quickly with how impressive he's been.
Yeah, he might be taking work away from Brian Robinson at some point if he keeps climbing the depth chart. Last one for me, Jalen Lane, the wideout from Virginia Tech that they nabbed in the mid rounds, was drafted in the fourth round. Kingsbury said a couple weeks ago at a practice that he can do things they didn't see on tape at Tech. So maybe you have some insight on what you think he's talking about. But what was your eval on him?
Yeah, another guy that I really liked. I thought round four was even a little bit late. I remember being on the desk when he got drafted, and I was like, man, with this dude's speed, I mean, he ran 4.34. Like, he is a blur, but he's not just a speed guy. Like, he's actually a good route runner as well. So I was surprised that he lasted as long as he was with his versatility. You know, I think he's a slot guy with long speed, but he can make you miss in the open field. I mean, I like him a lot. You're always at that point in the draft. I think you're looking for like what would be on this guy's business card. And, you know, for him, it's 4.34, obviously, but it's what he does. You know, you can run him on jet sweeps. You can run him on screens, hitches. So it's not, sometimes we see speed guys and it's like all they can do is run in a straight line. That's not him. Like he has that shiftiness and the quickness to be an asset on some of that underneath stuff. Now he doesn't have, you know, great size and you're going to see that, you know, when you stand next to Deebo Samuel, you're like, okay, these are different types of wide receivers playing in the slot, but what he can do, I think vertically separating is what would get him on the field. And some of that underneath quickness and probably even return ability is what I would get excited about.
Matt, awesome with us as always, man. Good to catch up with you in August.
Yep, you bet, guys. Have a great day.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Check out Matt Miller's work, NFL Draft Scout with ESPN, joining us on Grant and Danny. We got our Beltway Blitz coming up in about 40 minutes. We'll cover everything from Cade Cavalli's start with the Nats last night to the Commanders and the NFL. But next, ESPN ranking a three-year window for every team. Jaden Daniels is the ultimate buoy for Washington in these rankings.
Oh, yeah.
Just how high up were they? They were top 10. We'll tell you next.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Dad, I need you to hit up Nick Ashew. I need some information. I just heard daddy-daughter date night at the Bowie Bay Sox game or the Chesapeake Bay Sox or whatever they're called now, and I need to get to the bottom of that. That could be an opportunity for me to take the girls out.
Earn some points, yeah.
A little date night, and daddy gets, I don't really get to watch baseball, if we're being honest.
Right.
But I get to be in the ballpark where baseball's being played.
Could you also hit up Nick Ashew for me, but like, don't make it sound desperate? You know what I mean? Just like casually like mention my name to him and just see what he says.
He said it's this Friday night, actually.
This Friday night.
Yeah.
And what are they doing for the daddy-daughter element of this? Are we dancing in the concourse? I know they have like a merry-go-round. So maybe I could go do a merry-go-round with the girls. That'll be fun.
Live music, fireworks, and a bobblehead giveaway.
Live music, fire. So I could take my boy to that too then, yeah?
We'll see why.
Right. I mean, but it doesn't say and son's night also.
But the daddy-daughter theme. Like, what about what he just said is only for daddies and daughters? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
It's not like they're doing, like, a princess ball. It's not like they're doing a, you know, wear your Elsa costume, it doesn't say.
No, that's fair.
It just says they have fireworks. My boy likes that, too.
Uh-huh.
They have music.
I did the fireworks. It's Bowie Bay Sox, right? That's what we're talking about? I did the fireworks
the
there.
The artist formerly known as the Bowie Bay Sox.
Right. So I'm going to keep saying Bowie Bay Sox. I'll probably get the next one right at some point. I'll update my
file. Chesapeake Bay Sox.
Yeah. But when they were the Bowie Bay Sox, when I did this event, not this past year, but the year before, we did their July 4th fireworks. It was a blast. It was really, really fun.
You were there on July 4th?
Yeah.
That feels like a commute.
It certainly was. But my sister and her husband live in Crofton, as well be Kentucky. I mean, it's like the opposite side of D.C.
It's
from us.
A lot more sense. So you were staying at their house, and then you went to the show.
So we did. Yeah, we did a little.
It all makes sense. Yep. I'm a sucker for fireworks in a ballpark. So I might have plans for Friday night now. There is a sticky wicket that is, how do I get from here to there with my children in time for the daddy-daughter baseball match?
That is a sticky wicket.
Also, the idea that I'm going to tell my daughter, we're going to a daddy-daughter date night at the Chesapeake Bay Sox game. She's not as excited to go do that as she was a couple years ago.
Okay.
You know?
How do you entice? What's the carrot you can dangle? Is it mascots?
I would say that they'll have a mask guy there. Mm-hmm. I'll start with that. And I will tell her, who she likes that mask guy, by the way. I'll tell her there's a merry-go-round. She's big on merry-go-rounds. They have that down the right field line. Mm-hmm. That doesn't always work. It's kind of like a ice cream machine at a McDonald's. But a lot of times it does.
It was not working when we went that night, yeah.
There's plenty of times where it hasn't, but they also have you can clock yourself to see how fast you throw. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of kid activities down the right field line. Maybe she's into that.
Did you ever tell people how hard you threw that time where you got clocked?
What do you mean?
A few weeks ago?
I've never been clocked.
When was that? Darius, remember where that was, where Grant was when he threw and he couldn't believe the miles? He was like, is the gun broken?
I have not thrown to be clocked that I know of in a long, long time.
You didn't do that at MLB All-Star Weekend?
Yeah. Isn't that where it was?
Recently? Something?
No. Where it was?
Not that I remember. I don't think so.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
We'll have to track down a couple of the witnesses because it happened and you were there and you did throw.
Did I?
Yeah.
Some would say I didn't.
Right. I would tell you this right now. I would not throw. Like, just given what's happened to me and how much I've deteriorated,
right?
I would not pick up a baseball and throw it. And went, oh, come on, Danny. No, I'm not doing it.
I didn't throw. But if I were to have thrown,
yeah,
what I would say about having thrown, had I have done it, which I hadn't.
Which you did.
And I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I would probably throw a shockingly low miles per hour velocity.
See, I think what happened was you thought it was going to be a lot better than that when you threw. And you couldn't believe
it. Again, I didn't throw. But had I have thrown, I would have expected to throw a lot more than I did in the situation where I didn't throw. Because, let's just say I had thrown.
Right.
Had I have gotten in line and there'd be this super old guy doing it.
Uh-huh.
68 to 82, somewhere in there.
Like, that's how hard he threw, how old he was.
No, that was the age.
If you can throw your age, by the way, you're silly.
I think he was probably, honestly, my dad is young to mid-70s. This guy was older than my father, for sure. And so here's what it looked like, hypothetically. If this were to have happened,
I see, yep.
What it would have looked like is like a chest pass in basketball, where he's like taking the ball, and he's just like pushing it toward the machine.
Yeah.
Had I have thrown, the difference between his velocity and my velocity was not far enough, is my guess. If I were to have thrown.
Hypothetically, was the first digit a 7?
If I would have thrown?
Right. It was not, was it?
I bet it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Had I have thrown.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no chance it had I have thrown. Was it a 6 is a better question. And the answer to that is no.
Oh, no.
Had
you thrown.
Was it in the 50s is a better question.
Grant.
Had I have thrown.
Would you have been pulled over on a highway, hypothetically?
I will never know. I don't know.
Right. How could you know?
How could I possibly know?
Surface street, yeah, because it's 25 and there's a speed limit and there's stop signs.
Or would a cop be nice?
Oh, no. Give a jump for the warning?
Would the cop say, you wouldn't have killed anybody if you hit him?
Would the speed camera have said, he's fine?
Had I have thrown,
right.
I would have been very disappointed with the velocity,
mm-hmm.
is what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I will.
I mean, it's no warm up. You're not throwing out in the bullpen with someone who's only 8 feet from you.
I mean, that'd be fair to say.
Thank you, Coach.
I would have expected to go up there and throw 69 miles per hour.
Okay.
I would have liked to have touched 70.
Sure.
But having watched a bunch of people go in this situation, had I have done that?
And was it a slow gun, too? Was it reading a little slow for people?
I think, had I have gone, the gun that I was throwing on would have been the slowest gun of all time.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think the gun was calibrated correctly.
Because that happens, right?
If I was to have gone.
Because you've seen that Instagram video, all those different ones, where it's like, this guy's former college player at the fair throwing 97 with no warm-up. And I'm like, that's probably a little hot. That gun's a little hot.
Lastly, I will say.
Okay.
Again, didn't throw,
right.
Had I have thrown.
Mm-hmm.
The velocity would have been so low that I was in disbelief and don't believe that the machine worked.
Yep. Now, again, we're dealing with hypotheticals. It's so hard to pinpoint any facts. Did you see anybody else throw and it read much better for them? You follow me? Like, did someone come in and light the gun up?
There was one person on the same... machine as me.
Yeah.
Who threw right after me.
Yeah.
They didn't have quite the issue I had, I would say.
So it worked okay for them.
Better for them.
Yeah.
But the time I threw, it stopped working.
It just didn't read.
In this hypothetical.
It
read.
Right.
It read a velocity. But it wasn't a high velocity.
Dude.
Oh, man.
Dude.
But I didn't throw.
You didn't throw. So how come we...
None of this matters because I didn't throw. Mm-hmm.
Will you be able to throw at the Chesapeake buoy thing? Is there any throwing there?
Yeah. If I go to daddy-son-daughter date night,
yeah.
Take all the kids. You have so many kids. You need to get the kids out of the house.
They got to get out.
All the kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll throw. Mix it up. Warm up a little bit. Sure. No problem.
You know what you got to do is go through the full regimen. Like go full, like heavy ball, you know, backwards arm motion, right. Do the jobs, get yourself hot.
I think I need a lot of work with heavy baseball, weighted ball treatment.
Well, I'll put you on a program in the bullpen starting next week if you want.
I don't know if I'm ready for that. I think I need to, maybe I'm going to retire. Again, I didn't throw anyone.
You can't leave it on that one, hypothetically. Like, that can't be the last sample.
It's been so many years.
Right.
I think if I'd have thrown it would have been bad enough that I never want to throw again. Not in public.
Oh, man.
Not in a way where anyone sees the number.
Because the way I left it was my last pro tryout with the Phillies. And in right field, I was like, I got to unleash. I got to throw it as hard as I can. I airmailed the third baseman from right field. And it was kind of like that was my third throw out of three.
Where was this like some thing where there's like 100 people trying out or what was it?
Yeah, so it was in.
Or did they like bring you in for a workout at like Citizens Bank Ballpark?
No, it wasn't even that high level. I mean, I'd already gotten my, you're not welcome here or here or here. And I'm,
so where were you?
They're like, yeah, go home, wait for a phone call. Phone call never came.
Where were you?
This was a park outside of Philly. Where
park?
Up like a baseball facility.
Well, they're just having people come out to some random field?
No, it was like invited guys and people that were sort of shuffling around. I mean, this is the fringes of the fringe. This is like dudes that...
What time of year is this?
This is, you know, in the early summertime. After spring season is concluded, draft is concluded, and I'm still waiting on my phone call for the draft, by the way.
Is this a common thing now? They don't even do this.
They don't really do these anymore. No.
So it's literally a tryout.
Yeah.
Where they just work people out, mm-hmm. and if it goes well, they send you to instructs or something?
Yes, pretty much. So I'd been, you know, 3 or 4 days with the Dodgers doing a couple things. They're like, yeah, well, you're going to get, as soon as all the signings shake out, we'll figure out a place for
you.
Where
was the Dodgers thing?
That was in Vero.
That was at their spring training facility. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Back then, yeah. And so they're like, yeah, it turns out like a bunch of the 15-year-old kids from the Dominican signed, and we have no place for you, you low-ceiling zilch. We need the t-shirt
One
back.
One of them might have been Adrian Beltre.
Could have been. We put a couple calls in. Some teams are interested in you. You'll definitely get a call by the time you get home. No calls. Finally, like I'm beating the bushes and it's like, yeah, the Phillies will let you come to this workout. Anyway. So my last throw, I airmailed this thing, showed some arm strength, not a lot of accuracy. Didn't run real great. Didn't hit great. And I was like, all right, that's probably it. I'll start my life now.
We had a good run. Yeah,
that was my last like organized official throw. And I was like, I should leave it on that.
The Commanders came in the top 10, Danny. On a 3-year window ranking of teams in the NFL by ESPN, where in the top 10 did they come in?
They came in at 10th. Exactly 10th, my friend. And the criteria were as follows. Quarterback, that's weighed heavy in a good way for Washington. Overall roster minus the quarterback, coaching and front office. So they scored okay in coaching and front office. I think that rank will go up as time goes on, talking about the front office. Coaching-wise, they were middle of the pack, 16th in terms of their score. Teams up at the top, you'd probably expect some of these usual suspects here. Philadelphia ranked incredibly highly front office, incredibly highly roster-wise. Again, towards the middle of the pack in terms of coaching, but QB borderline top 10. Baltimore, excellent in all facets. Kansas City, excellent in all facets. Buffalo, excellent in all facets. You kind of get the theme. But Washington was 13th in overall roster, which is even higher than I would have thought.
Way higher.
Higher than I would have thought.
Heavy, heavy Jaden Daniels influence, I'd imagine.
Quarterback, 5th. So there it kind of fits, right? With that front office Mike Sando poll, 5, 6, wherever you have Jaden Daniels, he's knocking on the door of the top four, that kind of elite four horsemen. Coaching, 16th. Front office, 8th. So the future rankings for Washington, if you had an average quarterback, they would have been 17th, 18th, 20th, somewhere in there. But because you don't, because you have Jaden Daniels for the next three seasons on a rookie deal, they're really well thought of here. Yeah, they're 10th.
Most of these lists that keep coming out, where they're like, we're going to rank all the talent on your roster. We're going to rank all the guys under 25 that you have. We're going to rank, you know, in this case, the three-year windows of every team in the NFL. I find it really complicated to deal with Washington's rankings because there's kind of a Jaden Daniels and then an everybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with Daniels, he is such a buoy and he elevates things so much that the rest of it almost feels like it's irrelevant. Like if you replace Jaden Daniels with any kind of replacement level quarterback, just pick some guy like a Joe Flacco from Cleveland, then Washington is a bottom 10, you know, maybe bottom 7, bottom 5 situation. But they found the thing that everyone's looking for, including themselves, for 30-plus years. And assuming Daniels can continue down this path and that he can replicate, maybe not the exact successes of last year, but the propensity to show that he's an MVP-caliber QB and, as you said, a top 5, top 7 type guy, then it really doesn't matter that you lack a lot of talent at other positions or that you don't have a ton of young talent, because you're constantly going to be a place people want to go to in free agency. You've got to hit in the draft, clearly, but you're going to be able to trade and bring in veterans. You're going to get guys like Von Miller and Bobby Wagner who want to sign with you for their last act because they're ring chasing and trying to win a championship. They're trophy hunting, basically. So that's kind of right now, I think the paradigm is you got Jaden Daniels, you got a shot. We're all operating based on the fact that what we saw from him last year is exactly what he's going to be, and there's no regression coming. But if he can prove that last year was the real deal, and I don't know why it wouldn't be based on everything we're seeing, then, yeah, the rankings, I don't care about any of these lists anymore. Like, you're the Bills, you're the Ravens, mm-hmm. you're the Chiefs. You're one of the teams that every single year will be in the conversation because you have the quarterback.
Couple things break right, there you are competing for the championship. I mean, to give you an example, a comp, the Patriots are 18th. Quarterback, they're ranked 7th. This is over the next few seasons. That bullish on Drake May, right? This group. The rest of their roster stinks. 26th in terms of ranking. Coaching, 18th. Front office, 19th. Point is, Washington's roster, to me, is, I'm not sure, the rest of the league more bullish on the non-quarterback Washington roster than I am, and then a lot of maybe people here locally are. That's the point I find interesting.
Double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I saw a story about a wedding and something that happened I want to bring up and see if anybody did anything wrong. And then the Beltway Blitz is coming up in about 18 minutes. We'll cover all the teams in town you care the most about. I want to talk about a jam-packed running back room for the Commanders next hour on The Fan.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Camp coverage on The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Caught up with Ja'Cory Brooks, the wide receiver who led the Commanders in catches and yards in preseason game number one against the Patriots. You'll hear that interview on the show in 2 hours at 5:45, part of our coverage from Ashburn today on 106.7 The Fan. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. So, Danny, I saw this headline. I thought, okay, these are always fun and interesting. Let's see how I feel about it. Let's bounce this off old Danny Hutier, see where he comes in on this.
Mm-hmm.
So the headline from the New York Post is, rude couple bans bartender from putting out tacky tip jar at wedding. Quote from the couple, or someone in the couple, I would be horrified if you asked my guest for tips. Okay? So, to read from this story then.
Huh.
Gratuity was included in the contract. Don't lie. Asking guests to tip is tacky. I guess I skipped a couple paragraphs.
Okay.
But that's an important note.
That is an important context.
I'm doing this thing where this is the worst website I've ever seen. If more things could pop up, then maybe I could read one sentence at a time.
You're not supposed to do that.
I mean, my God, the pop-ups on some of these sites is out of control. But anyway, here's what.
And then they yell at you like, "Hey, disable your ad blocker, man! Disable it!"
But it's not even pop-ups. It's like they're
the autoplay videos.
Their crawl
things
drops down.
Sucks.
It's ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty standard to leave a cash tip for bartenders at weddings, especially if it's an open bar. However, a young bartender named Hannah So and So revealed in a TikTok video captioned, "This labor isn't free, people," that she supposedly was not allowed by a couple to put out a tip jar at their wedding that she was working. The video said so much, yet so little at the same time, but enough to spark a fierce debate on tipping at weddings in the comment section. I wouldn't want my guests to feel obligated to spend any money at my wedding. That is tacky, one commenter suggested. Gratuity was included in the contract. Don't lie. Asking guests to tip is tacky. The girl that posted the video felt compelled to post a follow-up video in response to thousands of opinionated comments she received. She said, I got an hourly wage from the venue. The bride and groom are not hiring me to be a private bartender at their wedding, so that's why I usually have a tip jar. I don't get gratuity in my hourly wage, she explained. I'm not signing a contract. I just work for the venue, and the bride and groom just said I couldn't have a tip jar. So when I read this, my first thought was, her having a tip jar is perfectly reasonable. If somebody wants to tip, they should tip. And if they don't want to tip, they shouldn't. It's not like she's pointing to the jar every time someone comes over or going,
yeah, it's not like coughing. when you buy like a $4 latte and it, like, in order to check out.
Right.
It's like, here's the tip, you should leave. You know?
It's one of those things, it's almost like a chair in the room. It's furniture. You don't even notice. To me, when I go up to a bar at a nice venue, certainly at a wedding, some kind of event like that, there is often a tip jar. It's not like done like my kid made it with some like piece of paper and red marker and says tip or something. It just sits there. It's a cup and there's a couple bucks in it, or you could drop something in. And when someone's making me a drink, if I have ones, normally when I'm going to an event like that, you try to get a couple of ones knowing it's open bar, and you'll tip as you go. Now, if they had paid this person 20% on top of whatever fee there is to have a bartender, I could understand some annoyance to say, hey, buddy, I already gave you 20%.
Yeah, come on.
I don't need you now asking my guests for tips while you're making them their drinks. The whole reason I'm paying you good money and tipping you is so that they're not bothered. But that's not what happened here at all. So I am team bartender here.
So the only thing, the only question I have is, was this understood beforehand? Because if we get to the night of and the wedding planner or the bride
HBO
or somebody
show starring Riz Ahmed.
Yeah. And John Turturro with like weird feet. If like you're, if someone's coming up and yelling at you, thank you. If someone's coming up and yelling at you, no tip jars, and it wasn't previously discussed, I don't love that. But to me, if it's a condition of, hey, if you'd like to do the wedding, we don't want that at our wedding for whatever reason, right? Then you got your choice to, well, I don't want to work it, right? But you see what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
If that's a condition up front, to me, what I don't like is the audible. I don't like, this is, I usually have this, is that a problem? Nobody thought about it. And you come running up saying that I'm ruining your wedding.
Yeah.
You got to put that away. It's like, well, we didn't talk about
that.
So
my guess is, I don't know, it doesn't say it in the story. I would imagine this is something that was not discussed beforehand, right? And that this person works these weddings. She says she's hired by the venue, really doesn't deal with the bride and groom much. It's not like they hire her or have anything to do with
her. Yeah, they contract with the venue, and the venue has their own.
So then Danny Hutier is the groom at the wedding, and he sees this tip jar on the counter, and he's going, I'm paying $80,000 for this wedding.
Right.
You know, whatever, out the door, and a lot of money for this venue.
Yeah, our guests have come a long way, spent a lot of money themselves.
I don't need this tacky jar asking for $5. But if you were to pick a side, I'm team bartender here. I got no problem with the tip jar. Where's Danny Ruya?
If I have to, I guess I'd be team couple. But not,
you
not,
would be.
Yeah, like, because again, it's your, you, it's how you want it, man. It's like your special thing. It's like you're, you do this in theory, you do it once. It's like there's the one time it's your wedding.
But this is not a vendor you contracted. That doesn't matter at all?
Right, that's why I would say, like, it's not something I'd
like, let's
go
say
to the mat for.
You did, right. You didn't negotiate it beforehand in any way. You went to them and they said, we've got a bartender who will be available. She's going to make great drinks, whatever. And you're like, excellent. The tip thing doesn't come up. And then you see it. You're probably not going out of your way to tell her to remove the tip.
No, I'm not going to cause a scene at my wedding or whatever.
Would you say anything?
I would. So what we did, we had a, and here's why I bring this up. We had a day of wedding planner person. As opposed to like a full wedding planner, like it was cheaper. And I would say to the day of wedding planner, like, hey, I don't love that. Like, is there a way to do something about that? Just that I don't want my guests to feel who've come all this way and spent all this money at one of these expensive hotels where we got folks staying and this, that, and the other. I don't want that out of control. Maybe we can do something to make her whole on the back end. Like, maybe we can offer a couple $100 to make it more worth her while. But I don't love that tip jar out there. I might have done something to that effect. And if the answer was no, then so be it. That's the thing that you'll notice that no one else will care about at your wedding because you are so intimately involved in planning every detail of it.
How many
you
people
see things
that go up to the bar are bothered by a tip jar, by the way?
Again, not that many.
Don't you agree with me? It's furniture in the room. Like, it's ubiquitous at almost every counter you go up to order ever. It's just that they're, you know, I go up to Five Guys and it's just sitting
there.
It's just a tip jar.
I mean, so to everybody else who goes to a wedding, the stupid chicken dance or what's done this time? Those stupid songs that suck so much, the choreographed dances, it's just what you do. To me, it's like nails on a chalkboard. I have hatred. Don't play that at my thing. So my point is, I've got things that I want or don't want at my day or like my bride and I's day, at our special thing. And so it may seem weird and quirky to those on the outside, but it's their deal, right? So I'm with you. I mean, I'm not offended by the tip jar. It wouldn't bother me at all. I would just either tip or not tip, and I'll be fine. But if it really bothered them, I have some empathy there. Not much.
Beltway Blitz comes your way next. Want to talk Commanders running backs this hour. You're listening to The Fan.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.